puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And yes, that can only mean one thing. Time for A Band of Manitoba with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
Remind us what we are talking about this week.
Well, for each of the last 5 years, the Manitoba Historical Society has issued a list of 10 noteworthy heritage structures around the province that, in our view, are at risk of loss by such things as willful neglect, mismanagement, vandalism, demolition, a whole host of causes. Mm-hmm. And this year is no different. So this morning, I'm sharing with our listeners the MHS's top 10 endangered structures list for 2024.
I like these lists because it's more work for you and almost nothing for me. So you say that the MHS has been identifying endangered structures for the past 5 years. How many of them have been actually lost? Well, in the past year.
Well, none, actually. That's the surprising thing. Most years, yeah, you lose at least one off the 10 list. But no, 2023 seems to have been a good year for heritage. None of the structures on our preceding list was lost. In fact, none even from the previous 5 years was lost last year. So that's good. But that's not to say we should not remain vigilant, because circumstances can change quickly.
Yeah. How do you identify candidates for the list?
Well, we do have a number of volunteer researchers that make suggestions to us. And that's always helpful because, you know, we can't know everything going on around the province. And of course, we're always open to input from the public, too. So in general, we're looking for things that are at a risk of loss because there's no new use to be found for them. We don't really want to consider things for which there's no hope of ever being used again. You know, there's buildings that are literally falling down.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do with that. And sorry to see it go, but it's not on an endangered list because it's really already gone.
Yeah. One very recent one here in Winnipeg on McDermott.
Yes, indeed.
Crumbling.
Down. Yes, right.
So let's get into the list for this year.
Well, I'm going to list them from oldest to newest. In other words, they're not in any kind of priorized order, because I'm not sure how you would even do that. Mm-hmm. And we start in 1884. That is, of course, the Holy Trinity Anglican Church
right
here in downtown Winnipeg. It's been a landmark of the city. It's gorgeous inside and out, but it has major structural problems that, if not resolved soon, may cause that church to tumble down. It's reported that the repairs are going to cost millions. Yep. They're beyond the means of the church's small congregation. So not a very likely prospect of salvation, but who knows? You know, perhaps we can find inspiration in the news earlier this week of a struggling church, a different church here in Winnipeg, that's getting a major boost by having a music studio move in with its congregation.
Mark Chipman of True North, I think, went to his own pocket for that one.
Yeah, kudos to him, too. Wonderful.
Church in Crescentwood.
And this is exactly the sort of outside-the-box thinking that we need to protect and preserve heritage structures that are at risk, like Holy Trinity.
Yeah, maybe Chipman wants to start a collection of churches in his asset portfolio. Okay, what's next?
Well, structural problems are inevitable when you have buildings over 100 years old, and this is the case for a two-story brick building at Melitta. It was the community's first school, built in two parts in 1893 and in 1905, and as far as I know, it's the oldest such school outside of Winnipeg. After the school kids moved out to a new school nearby, the old school became the Antler River Museum. A wonderful community museum. It has all sorts of artifacts from around southwestern Manitoba. But unfortunately, the museum managers have had to contend with challenges in the foundation for actually quite a few years. I know I met the former curator, and he said he was down in the basement fixing problems periodically. Mm-hmm. And the managers now wonder if the limited funds they have might be better spent on a new building. So I think there's a very real possibility that this beautiful old building may soon be gone.
Wow. Okay, number three on the list.
Well, it's a building we spoke about here in Abandoned Manitoba back in December. The oldest surviving convent building in rural Manitoba is at Saint-Jean-Baptiste. It's the former convent of the Sisters of Holy Names of Jesus and Mary. Built in 1898, it was expanded several times, and the reason was that it was basically the local school. You know, kids from all over the countryside would come to Saint-Jean to go to school. It was sold into private ownership in 1994 after another school was built, and this old convent was converted into residential apartments. Most recently, its owner tried to build more apartments, but they didn't want to get any, you know, permits for it. They just, oops, you know, permits, schmermits. Mm-hmm. And, well, unfortunately, they got caught and all of the tenants were evicted. The building now stands vacant, and that's never a good sign of vitality.
Yeah, I remember that story. These are all buildings so far, but you said that this was a list of structures.
Right, because we also considered non-buildings on the list, if there is any. So number four is the Arlington Street Bridge here in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Of course, which has connected the northern and southern parts of the city since 1912, arguably made a real difference in the sort of the social and economic life of the city. Concerns for its structural integrity, however, prompted the city of Winnipeg to close it indefinitely back in November. Not just to cars either, but to everything. Nobody can even walk across it, which, I don't know, seems a little excessive to me.
I agree.
Current thinking is that the bridge will probably be replaced, but we would urge the city to consider at least keeping the old bridge intact along with a new facility too. You know, there's many examples around the world of creative reuse of former bridges. And I think one that comes to mind for me is the High Line in New York City. It's an elevated railway spur that was turned into an absolutely wonderful public green space. And anybody who goes to New York usually walks it and is impressed. So.
And here in the city, when they rebuilt the Disraeli Bridge, the Disraeli Freeway, as it were, they built around the existing structure. And after they finished the new one, the old Disraeli Bridge was turned into a walking and bike path.
Yeah. See,
across the Red River.
Again, creative, out-of-the-box thinking is what we really need here.
Number five.
Well, listeners may not know this, but in many ways, the early architecture of Winnipeg was inspired by that of Chicago. If you go to Chicago, you'll see many buildings that, wow, that one looks like kind of buildings in Winnipeg. And there's a very good reason for that, because a lot of the architects here in Winnipeg were either trained in Chicago or were inspired by the Chicago School. And a perfect example of a building here is the Boyd Building on Portage Avenue.
Right.
Built in 1912, its terracotta exterior reveals its heritage as a 9-story Chicago-style skyscraper. Unfortunately, the Boyd has been mostly empty since 2017, but its bones are solid. The facade is gorgeous. All we need is a creative owner with a plan for some new purpose. In other words, it's not structurally compromised. It just needs somebody who's willing to see a new alternative for it.
I've always been partial to the Boyd Building. It was probably the first downtown building I was ever in. We had a family doctor.
Exactly.
In there.
A lot of professional offices were in there through the years. Sure.
Warm memories of visiting that building. It was a big deal. Get on the bus and go see the doctor with mom. There are other vacant buildings in the vicinity of the Boyd too, aren't there?
Yes, alas, there are, and we have numbers 6 and 7 on our list that are not far away from the Boyd Building. Both of them were built in 1913, and both served as hotels. On Smith Street is the Marlborough Hotel, one of the city's grand hotels from the early 20th century. Well, unfortunately, it's been closed since last December. Mm-hmm. I do remain hopeful, though, that it can continue to provide needed accommodation in downtown Winnipeg. Although not necessarily as a hotel, there are other ways we can, you know, use it for living space for people. Mm-hmm. Nearby the Marlborough on Notre Dame Avenue is the St. Charles Hotel. It's been closed longer, actually quite a bit longer, since 2008. And the owner seems intent on leaving it that way until the building has deteriorated so much that demolition is the only option. And, you know, that's really sad.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had hope for the St. Charles, but if it's just going to be empty for 15 years, you know, there's nothing good going to happen.
Nope, there, absolutely.
Know. Okay, we're at number 8.
Well, we head out to the village of Ladywood, north of Beausejour, for a former general store that was operated by a couple, Henry and Mary Gable, for 44 years, from 1931 to 1975. And for a while, it was actually sort of a little impromptu community museum. It's really quite an attractive building. Up until around 2019, the wooden building was, well, really prominent because of its yellow paint job, but also it had two very attractive, prominent verandas, one on each of its two floors. Unfortunately, when we revisited the site earlier this summer, we found that the verandas had been torn off.
Really?
Leaving the building looking really quite bereft. You know, we're hopeful that this might just be a temporary condition and the owners do plan to replace the verandas. But time will tell if maybe this is something else. This is maybe the first step to further unsympathetic renovation or, well, let's just think, maybe worse.
Okay, number nine.
Well, there's not a lot of Art Deco architecture in Winnipeg, but there is a notable exception in Point Douglas. That's the former Ukrainian labor temple from 1938.
Right.
Now, it has been repurposed as a Greek Orthodox church, and it was used as recently as just this past June when, unfortunately, somebody set fire to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fortunately, the damage was mostly confined to smoke and water. But its future is uncertain because the area is known for its problems with addiction, crime, homelessness.
And arson.
Yes. So who knows whether they're going to be able to get that building up and running again.
Okay. We've come to number 10 finally on the list.
Well, of course, this is our youngest structure. It's a unique circular building in Saint-Pierre-Joly that was designed by noted architect Étienne Gabory. And it was built in 1964. You know, I always admire Gabory's work because it always has a very distinctive look.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is no different. You know, again, whoever thinks of circular buildings? It's connected to the local high school. And through the years, it has served as a gymnasium. It served as a church. And most recently, a classroom and public library. This is a part that I find really fascinating. Yes, it's a library for the school, but it's also a library for the surrounding community. In other words, it's sort of a hybrid library, which I think is a fascinating way to ensure that it's a vibrant, busy place.
Right.
And again, a good example of outside-the-box thinking. Well, unfortunately, the librarians there have been told they're going to have to move or at least close during school hours. And if so, they're only going to be able to open on evenings and weekends. And we really don't know the motivation for this. We worry that maybe it's the first step towards, well, it could be the eventual loss of this really innovative cultural space.
Yeah, that's 10 pretty interesting snippets there of buildings that really, honestly, with a little care and creativity, could survive, really.
Absolutely. There's no reason most of them, like they say, it's not structural compromise that's going to cause these buildings to disappear. It's going to be lack of creative thinking.
Calling Mark Chipman.
Well, or people like Mark. I mean, I hope he's an inspiration to our community here.
I think so. It's an inspirational story. Yeah, definitely. Buy a church with a congregation of 25 and help it survive and maybe even grow. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a story that could be, duplicated.
Maybe you go to a service to hear the Brothers Landreth perform. Who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where can listeners get more information on some of these structures that we've discussed?
There's a full list of all 10 structures with more information on each one at mhs.ca/endangered. mhs.ca/endangered.
Excellent work, Gordon. Thank you for that. And what's up for next week?
Well, every so often on Abandoned Manitoba, we visit towns around Manitoba that have an especially large number of heritage buildings.
Yeah.
Well, so far we've been to Verdun and Manitou. Next week, we're going to see some architectural beauties on the streets of Carberry.
Can't wait for that. Thanks, Gordon.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.